Dear friends, thank you so much for being with us. Today we're going to study need and greed, necessity and greed. It is very important to discover our psychological defects in ourselves without hiding, without justifying ourselves, because this is the only way to be able to disintegrate them. When we disintegrate a psychological defect, we obtain a power, a virtue, a gift, but above all, we need to stop believing that we are good people already, that we do not have psychological defects, because in reality, we do a lot. We have a lot of unwanted things inside us, and a lot of things that we miss, that we need. Faults, psychological faults, are what we have in excess, and what we lack are virtues. And among these psychological defects that we possess, we also have the self of greed, and the eye of greed is a legion head, is the head of an army of psychological defects. It is not a teeny, well-hiding flaw in us, no, he's a captain, he's a general of armies, and under his command there is a legion of small psychological defects. We are therefore not talking about an ego, but about a set of psychological egos or psychological eyes. Remember, I feel lust. I am greedy, right? That's why we call them I. It is important to direct our attention to what we really are, because a large number of these defects that we have within ourselves are those which cause us many illnesses, many obstacles in our lives, many problems, and which even lead us to death. This is why the great master Buddha tells us in the Dhammapada, which is an extraordinary book, in the verse 359, the weeds destroy the fields, the crops. Weeds grow everywhere. And anyhow, they damage our crops and destroy everything we produce. The Dhammapada is a sacred, extraordinary book, and it will be one of the themes that we will study. This is a very interesting book to read and to learn about. We take up many quotes from the Dhammapada, as well as many teachings that Master Buddha gave throughout his life. He therefore tells us that the tares destroy the fields, as greed destroys humanity. He compares greed to weed. An entire culture can be destroyed by weed, and greed, similarly, destroys humanity. Master Buddha continues by saying, therefore, he who gets rid of greed, he who eliminates it, who disintegrates it, produced abundant fruits. That is to say, that everything succeeds for him if he succeeds in everything that he does. Greed is one of the most serious obstacles that exist and prevent us from triumphing in life. Greed destroys the main purpose of our existence. It hinders us in what we really need to accomplish in our life. It is the cause of the obstacles we encounter in our life. We often have the habit of saying, there are good desire, good envy, good greed, but no, there aren't any. There is no good greed at all. We don't need greed to achieve something, to be someone in life. Of course not. But we justify ourselves that way very often nowadays. It is for this reason that we say at the start of this conference that it was necessary to recognize our own errors, our own faults, without hiding them, without justifying them. If we justify our mistakes, it's because we need to. It's because we think we need greed to live. We think that we need ambition to live, to achieve things. But this is not how we are going to succeed in life. Rather, we are going to be complete failures. Money will never give us happiness. Money is only a mean to live, but certainly not to be or to achieve happiness. Our state of consciousness at each moment of our life are vitally important to finding happiness. And this necessary state of consciousness have been well demonstrated. There are people who have very beautiful and big houses, a great car, a very well-paid job, a nice wife, or a nice husband, with also good children, and who, with all this which should normally give them happiness, they still are very unhappy. Why? Well, because they do not have a state of consciousness that corresponds to the event they are experiencing. Let's take an example. At a party where we normally have a good time, there is always someone who is sad, someone who sits alone in a corner and cries, and is sad and melancholic, and this because he does not internally have a positive state of consciousness corresponding with the situation he is experiencing. Let's take another example. A young girl is getting married. On her wedding day, she is nervous and anxious. Or the future husband is nervous and stressed. They're not enjoying the wedding celebration as much as they thought they would. They've spent so much time preparing everything, organizing everything, spending so much time trying to do things perfectly that they are not enjoying it at all. This long and winded day, because of the stress, so many emotions, what will people say? Because of the anxiety for everything to go well, they do not benefit at all from this external event that is happening. We need to have a good state of consciousness. There are people who barely have enough to eat, who have no bank account, who have no money, no savings, who have a poorly paid job, but who are happy in their humble little house, with humble clothes and unbranded shoes. They live well and are happy. It is therefore not money, the one that will bring us happiness, joy, but rather our inner state of consciousness, which will allow us to have this happiness that we desire so much. But our state of consciousness has nothing to do with money. Be careful. We are not saying that we should not work. No. Nor that you should not study to learn a trade, a business, a career. No. What we mean is that we always tend to see the money as a factor of happiness. And this is not the case. Money is not what will bring us happiness. It is certain that we need three fundamental things in life. Every human being needs these three essential things to live. We must study a profession, a career. A craft profession is wonderful, for example, because we love handling or art. If we are a carpenter and if it is our vocation, everyone can do their own work. Well, we will transform wood into magnificent things, into beautiful furniture. The work that we must do, will allow us to have these three essential things to live. And what are these three fundamental things? First of all, bread. That is to say, food, nourishment. We must nourish our body so that it functions well. And eating does not mean eating a lot. No, we must eat in a balanced way so that the body is healthy and that physical work or even spiritual work can be demanded of it. We must feed it in a balanced and diversified way. We don't need clothes to cover our bodies. Our body must be covered. It must be protected by clothing. We need shoes so we don't go barefoot. And then we also need a shelter, a small house to live in. It doesn't make sense to pay rent all your life. Paying rent for a while, until we have a house to live in, is good. It's okay. It's normal. It's a normal thing nowadays. So, we need bread, clothing, and shelter. It's fundamental. We must have these three things. If we work to have these three essential things, that's fine. There is no problem because they are fundamental to living. Any government that calls itself democratic, but its people do not have these three fundamental things or the way to get them, the way to achieve them, it is not a democratic government in reality. It is apparently democratic, but it is not really. We need bread, clothes, and shelter. This is the basis for every human being. Working for this is perfect, and no one is against studying to learn a profession. Work is part of the path, part of life. Work is truly something necessary because it is a factor for self-knowledge, for having money to be able to exchange it for bread, clothes, and shelter. It is a necessity. However, we must not confuse necessity and greed. Everyone is different. We cannot say, for example, that with $10,000 we are in need, within our needs, we are fulfilling our needs, but that with $10,001 it becomes greed. No, we cannot speak like that. Everyone is different. Everyone has different and varied necessities. But you have to know where your own necessity ends and where your own greed begins. Greed has many facets that we don't pay attention to that. We think that greed is the accumulation of goods, houses, cars, banks, accounts, money. But ambition in reality has very many ways of manifesting itself. This is why we affirm that ambition or greed is like an army general who has many soldiers under his command. Each soldier represents a psychological flaw. Each soldier is a form or phase of greed. There are many forms of ambition. It is like a legion made up of demons. Greed is a legion of demons. And in saying this, we are not wrong, because that is what they are in reality. They are inside ourselves, in our psychology. We create them ourselves. We very often talk about the ambition of our politicians. We say that they are corrupt and that they steal from people. When they gain power, for example, in a city, their old small house turned into a huge, very luxurious villa in a very poor, fine part of the city. And we wonder where they can get this money from. We deduce from this that those politicians are ambitious, greedy. Yes, of course, these are the faces of greed, of ambition, that we can identify very easily, isn't it? But there are many kinds of greed. There is also greed in this penitent who drags himself on his knees for miles, asking the divinity for help. There we see that there is greed, an ambition to obtain good health. It is good to seek good health. Of course it is. No one says the opposite. It is good to go and see the doctor to get medicine and treat yourself if you are sick. It is very logical. It is also very good to pray, to meditate, and beg the divinity asking for healing. No one says otherwise. but very often we covet health. An example, when we get drunk often, frequently, when we drink alcohol, we harm our liver, we damage our liver, and we want our liver to heal so we can continue drinking. It is a kind of problem. It is a kind of ambition. We do absurd, crazy things that we are not are not in any holy book. We do things that are never recommended in religions, but we include them, those crazy things, into our religions. All religions are pearls strung on the golden thread of divinity, okay? All religions accomplish a very specific mission, which is to give humanity spiritual knowledge. But each religion has a different spiritual level, because precisely there are several spiritual levels in the human beings. This is the reason why there are many religions. This is exactly what is happening with school. There is the kindergarten, the elementary schools, then middle schools, high schools, university. Masters, doctorates, etc. Aren't they? A elementary school, for example, will not be able to teach and prepare students in nuclear physics. This requires special studies in special universities. The same thing happens for spiritual levels. There are people who have a basic level, who are just starting out at the very beginning of spiritual questions, spiritual issues. They need very specific school. They will have a religion that will correspond to their level. This is why all religions are pearl strung on the golden thread of divinity. They all are necessary. All religions accomplish a mission, a function. It is we who put into religions what is not necessary. For example, damaging one's knees or hurting oneself physically to ask the divinity for healing, for example, or for forgiveness, because we believe that by doing this, the divinity will listen to us. This way of doing things are due to ambition or greed. If we want to be heard by divinity, let us help poor children. Give food to people who are hungry. Give clothes to people who lack of them. Let us help the sick and the needy. This is transcendental. But doing crazy things while physically harming yourself is just pure ambition. There are also forms of ambition that are disguised. The ambition of design, for example. We want to imitate a person who is gentle, who speaks gently. We imitate his way of speaking, his way of being. We want to resemble him. We want to be that person. It is a kind of ambition, and you can tell me that it's a good thing to want to be like him, but no. It is not a good thing, because everyone is who they are. We must be authentic. We must be as we are. Each of us is different, and it's okay. When we want to be like someone else or like others, we make mistakes because we are a copy of them. The original, it's perfect like it is, but we, a copy, is not perfect. We become a very bad copy. There are also people who tell very funny stories and who makes everyone laugh. And we try to do the same, but since it doesn't suit us, we give a bad impression and we don't make anyone laugh. Everyone is as they are. Coveting holiness is not the right path. We must work to have this holiness. We must not covet it or copy it. We also covet material goods. Yes, of course, we all do. We all feel lust, and we all justify it. But as long as we continue to justify it, it will be impossible for us to disintegrate it. There is not only the lust for material good, there is also the lust or the desire for heaven. We do not work to ascend to higher dimensions of consciousness, no, but we covet it. We covet those higher dimensions. We think that by giving money or an inheritance to an association or a church, we will go up straight to heaven. It's like buying a ticket, isn't it? But no, things are not like that once again. This is spiritual greed. It is apparently very honorable, but it gets us nowhere. These are eyes that are apparently good, but in fact, they lead us straight to disaster. It's like doing 1 kilometer on your knees because we want help. Do you really believe that the deity, the Divine Mother, or the masters of the White Lodge take pleasure in seeing us with bleeding knees? Do you think this serves any purpose? This is absolutely of no use at all. It is only pure ambition to have health, because we do nothing to have good health. Being sick comes from an imbalance in our life. If we get angry very often, it is obvious that we will have a disease of the nervous system, or that we will have heart problems. And if we want to do strange things to be cured, let's start by not getting angry all the time. Can we do that? It is easy to do. How can we get there? Well, how else do we believe we will heal if the root of our illness is the anger or envy, pride, lust, or stress we always live with? How do we believe we are going to be healthy if we have a very pure way of living? How do we think we can heal? We must attack the origin of evil and not always be inventing crazy things. This is greed, the ambition to have money, the ambition to have material goods, spiritual goods. Greed has the face of an angel, a demon, a man, a woman, a child, an old man, a married man, a single man. See how far the ambition goes. There is the ambition of not being ambitious. We really have the ambition of not being ambitious. It is crazy all the same. So these are the countless facets of greed and ambition. Ambition and greed are what mainly produce wars in the world, and we make many excuses about it. Today, in some countries, they have a way of killing people that does not correspond to what other countries accept. So there is regulations between countries, and one powerful country say to another, if you of your or your army kill in this way that I do not accept, I will attack you in turn. Do you realize this absurdity? You must kill only with rifles, machine guns, or pistols, but if you kill with anything else that I do not sell, that I do not produce, that I do not manufacture in my factories, then I will attack and kill you. Say a powerful country to a poor country. These are absurd justifications. Violence breeds more violence, and hatred produces even more hatreds. This way, the wars will never end. The main causes of war are ambition and greed. Ambition blinds us. Greed blinds us. Another example. When the father of family dies and he left no will, see how these brothers who got along very well, these brothers who were so close, this family who saw each other every weekend to eat together, started arguing. Father of family died. Arguments and wars between brothers arrived. See how they attacked each other. See how they pit themselves against each other. See how the worst in each person comes to the surface when the greed gets in. And all this because of what? We see these wars between brothers all over the world. There are even some who hurt each other, who kill each other. They are fought among themselves, brothers, sisters, nephews, nieces, uncles, aunts. And why all of this? Out of ambition and greed. Government is just the extension of the individual. Government is the individual. And if these things happen in a small family, if there is ambition in a family, there will be ambition in government. And if there and if there are conflicts and disputes in a family because of ambition, there will be conflicts between nations because of greed and ambition. There are many pretexts for conflicts, but ultimately, it is because of ambition and wars are declared. A country takes major markets from another country. A nation wants to do the exact same thing, and it causes wars. In addition, it allows you to sell weapons, to sell planes, nuclear technology. This is what wars are. They have the causes and roots in ambition and greed. We can shoot our leaders, our governors, our perverts and thugs. But who are they? They are only the extension of the individual. They are only the extension of each of us. Each of us produces wars, and if we do not eliminate wars in our homes, in our families, or whatever causes them, the wars in the world will not stop. We also say, if my political party had won, we wouldn't be here. We would have peace. But it's impossible. See what happened in certain South American countries. There was a well-established, well-channeled power. Then revolutionary thoughts arose among the people. People believed that this new political party would give them peace and happiness. And they all voted for him. And ultimately, the result was that it was much worse than before. There are many countries, many examples in South America and Central America. And surely in many other parts around the world. Previously, we had to work 8 hours, 12 or 14 hours a day to earn a living. But now we work much more and the money is no longer worth anything. Our salary is no longer worth anything. And whose fault is it? It is not the fault of the party in place. Neither that of the left nor that of the right political scheme. Not from above, not from below. All these parties are of no use because in everyone, there is ambition. In all, there is greed. As long as there is ambition and greed, there will be no good political parties. There will be no party that will save us. We must put an end to what produces wars. We must put an end to what causes wars. And that is to say, with these two main factors, which are ambition and greed. The irony, the worst thing for us who study Nazis and who come to seek the path to self-realization, is that we covet these powers. Saint Francis of Assisi gave us the example. He never coveted powers, nor gifts, or faculties. He never said, I want to be a clairvoyant, or I'd like to be able to travel in the astral plane every day. And we never heard him saying, I would like to float over the trees. I would like to have the gift of ubiquity so that I can be everywhere at once and talk to the animals. No, he never said things like that. What Saint Francis of Assisi only thought was to die psychologically, to die within himself, to eliminate, to eradicate, to disintegrate the psychological defects. When we destroy our psychological defects, we obtain virtues, gifts, powers in a natural, spontaneous way, but we should never covet them. This is of no use and get us nowhere. Coveting powers can only lead us to the abyss of black magic. This is where this can lead us, leaving Gnosis and looking for places where we are promised. Instant clairvoyance can land us in the world of drugs. We are told that a certain plant has the power to awaken clairvoyance in us, but things are not like that. Eliminating the anger in us could give us clairvoyance once again. The way to be clairvoyant is to eliminate the defect of anger in us. But no one wants to eliminate the anger in themselves. So we take hallucinogenic mushrooms, special plants, or all kinds, and we fall into the abyss of black magic because we have coveted powers. We must not covet powers. We must work within ourselves to obtain them. To obtain them naturally, spontaneously. These powers must grow in us gradually, like a plant. If we want a plant, an orange tree in our garden, so we can have our little oranges every morning, we have to plant a seed. And you think it is going to give us oranges right away? Of course not. We have to wait a few days, maybe several weeks, to have a very small plant. And if we pay close attention to it, if we water it every day and we take care of it, it will become a small tree. And then you think that it will give us oranges? No, we'll have to wait some more time. We will have to protect it from lars, from thirst, from weed. That is to say, from greed. We will have to protect it from insects and disease. So the powers are like this, the faculties, the gifts, the virtues are like this, are the same. It is the same things. It takes years and years of work to obtain them, so that in the end, they flourish in us in a natural way. Look at the trees. After having grown well, they begin to give some fruit. Two or three small fruits at the beginning, When they become bigger and stronger, the more fruit they will give us. We must have a lot of patience. It requires a lot of work. Powers are never given for free, just like that for nothing. They are not acquired with hallucinogenic plants, mushrooms, or drugs. We have to work to perfect ourselves, and this is called initiation, and really has nothing to do with a ceremony performance or performed anywhere with a shaman in a room with special smoke and scents, works and weird dances. Not at all. Not at all. That is not the real initiation. So, because of covet, of greed for powers, we fall into the hands of charlatans, into the hands of black magicians. Do you realize how far ambition and greed can take us? How down can take us? They can take us. Ambition has many faces, shapes, nuances, facets. The main cause of ambition is what we call money. We must analyze what money is for us ultimately. If we look at it coldly, we will realize that it is just paper, little pieces of paper with drawings on them and metal pieces. That is what money is. Or it is not. Right? What is money really used for? Per se. For nothing. Can we eat it? Can it feed us? The paper, those little pieces of metal, no. Can we cover our body with it? No. Can it protect us from the rain? No. From the sun? Also no, it doesn't. So what is money? Money is something to which we have given terrible psychological importance, a value that it doesn't have. Money is an invention of humanity, so that we can exchange it for bread, clothes, and shelter. Money must be given its fair value. It is a physical necessity. Physical. This is what society has established, and we have to work 8 hours a day in a factory or a company to be given some pieces of paper and a few metal circles that we will exchange later for food, to be allowed to live in a house, and to clothe us. It is a physical necessity. We have to see it as it is. Money is a physical necessity, nothing more. What is bad is when we make money, when we turn the money, a psychological necessity. And if we do that, then it is the end. Because it will take us, and it will make us commit so many mistakes. Why make money a psychological necessity? Well, because when we have these little metal circles and these pieces of paper, of tainted paper, we are very well seen, aren't we? We are very well treated. If we have these plastic cards, which are credit or debit bank cards, we are very well accepted. When we enter a business or a store and we are not dressed in a nice designer clothes, we are not even noticed, or we are not, looked at with disdain. But if we enter this same store very well dressed, with very expensive designer clothes, they smile at us and we are taken care of very well. And since we are treated very well, we then make money a psychological necessity. So money gives us power. It glorifies us. It gives us recognition. A poor person who walks in the streets with lots of weird psychological tics or quirks is treated as crazy. A poor person But a rich person who has millions and millions and who has the same psychological quirks is treated as an eccentric person. Why? Because he has money. He's not crazy, he's just an eccentric person. So money hides the worst faults. We seek and want money because it gives us power over others. Money gives us glory, it gives us honors, which is why we make it a psychological necessity. We always want more and more. So we exploit the man. We exploit the exploitation of man by other men through ambition and greed. We are big bosses or bosses in a factory. We make all employees work very long hours for a miserable salary. And this is for money because of greed and ambition of the owner. It's not bad to have or to run a factory or a business. Of course not. But exploiting people, that is bad. Money is neither good nor bad. And Saint Francis of Assisi said on this subject, sex is like money. If it is used for good, it is good. And if it is used for evil, it is bad. If we use money for good, to cover our basic necessities, to help humanity selflessly, that's fine. But if we use money as a psychological necessity to feel good, to feel powerful, to be recognized and to be famous, then it is bad because we sink into greed, into ambition, and that will not bring us anything good. We must see in this psychological necessity or a feeling of satisfaction. Satisfaction comes from the senses, that is, we feel sensations through the window of our five senses. We see with our sight, we smell with our sense of smell, we hear sounds with our hearing, we taste with our taste, we touch with our touch. Our five senses offer us sensations that give us satisfaction. This is a good thing. We watch a very beautiful sunset, it satisfies us. Our child arrives and he kisses us, taking us in his arms, we feel that, and it satisfies us. It's good, it's a good sensation. But very often, these kind of sensations which enter through the window of our five senses enter our mind, and our mind reacts in a wrong way. So we want even more satisfaction. Not a natural satisfaction, no, but a great satisfaction off topic, which does not make sense. We want money, even more money, and even more money. We seek some satisfaction through the sensations. We have, for example, a car to go to work, but we want even more. We want a latest model car. But we don't want one car. Just one car. We want two. And then three. We can't drive all three of these cars at the same time, but we want all three of them. We want the satisfaction of knowing that we have them there. We have one house, which is great, but we want two, then three, then four. Why want so much? In fact, we seek the sensation that this satisfaction gives us. We seek this satisfaction. The poorer we are spiritually, the more we will seek to satisfy ourselves in the outside world. We go to shopping center to buy a lot of things that are not often needed and that we will never ever use. But we bought them at times when we wanted to feel the satisfaction of being able to spend. The satisfaction of feeling that we could buy, acquire, to perhaps show others that we had the money, and all this or psychological reasons. Do you understand? Do we explain ourselves? It is not for a physical necessity. It is a psychological need. It is because we are poor inside that we act this way. We then look outside for clothes in excess, tools, glasses, hair dyes, shoes, etc. We are not against taking care of ourselves. We are not against dressing well. In Gnosis, we are asked to have hygiene, to respect others, and to dress decently, absolutely. It is not a crime for a woman to wear makeup or dye her hair, of course, but we are simply saying that we adopt very bizarre psychological attitudes precisely because of this inner poverty. We buy then 15, 20 pairs of shoes because we seek dissatisfaction in the face of our inner poverty. And if we do not buy shoes that we will never wear, we buy tools that we will never use either. But we have them there, close to us, well stored away, and we will use them when we need them, if ever. Nobody say that we wouldn't have a lot of tools, but one thing is to buy a tool that we really need and use. And another thing is to seek satisfaction of having tons of tools stored in a corner without never use them. That is greed. That is ambition. Because of inner poverty. The causes of ambition and greed have many factors. Ambition causes wars, pain, and is responsible for exploitation and many other evils. And why? One of the factors that creates ambition is fear. We are afraid of getting old, so we continue to work like a donkey. Well, it is a good thing to work, and if we have the strength and the ability, it is a good thing to get distracted, I don't know, like a hobby. We work a lot, and we must be happy with our work and in our work. That is a very good thing. But working like a donkey from sun to sun because you are afraid of old age is absurd. We work excessively. We are anxious, very stressed. And what do we achieve? To make us sick. To tire our body. And indeed, in these conditions, we will have a miserable old age. Why are we doing this? Because we are afraid. We are panicked. We are in panic. We want to have money and even more money. We want cars, bank accounts, houses, having savings or a small fortune for our old days. And covering unforeseen expenses is perfect. It's great. Predict that to be prepared. That's great. It's a good thing. But always being afraid of missing out makes us become ambitious, and we constantly seek for security. Many of us could be truly happy, but we are not, because we are always afraid of lacking. That is what provokes ambition in us. It is for this reason that we must discover the causes of our ambition, and we will see that it is often fear the cause of our ambition. The fear of no old age, the fear of death, the fear of lacking. This ambition, this greed, pushes us to seek security. But in the wrong places. There are workers who earn enough to live, but the media, television, internet, society always pushes us to buy and to want lots of things in order to live well. We absolutely must have this or that. A beautiful house, a car, maybe two, luxury clothes, shoes, perfumes, society, the media, tells us that to live well, you must have the latest model of cellular phone. We therefore look for what is not necessary. We always have something to eat, something to wear, accommodation, maybe humble. But we have it. We are always afraid, and we can also fall for that into prostitution. The humble cook or waiter in a restaurant earns a good living, but he is afraid, and these fears makes him seek for security, like little chicks who seek refuge near their mother when they hear an unfamiliar noise. It is this search for security, in humans of course, that provoke ambition. Fear is one of the causes of ambition. We must think and analyze all this within ourselves. There is something else that causes ambition, and it is envy. Of course, we see our neighbor or our little brother who has less education than us, but who is much more successful than us, and who already has a nice car, a nice house. Then envy appears in us, and this envy invade us entirely. The success of our neighbor or the success of our brothers make us angry, and we say, how it is possible that he has more beautiful things than I do, than me. We then begin to walk even more and more and more. We have walked enough, but we walk even more, and we forget our wife and our children. They are not important for us anymore because we need money because of our envy. Before, we saw our family every evening, but now that we work a lot more, we don't see them often. The desire to have the same things as our little brother or as our neighbor make us work far more than necessary. This is how the ego works in us. It always wants more. It always works for more. And then ambition and greed appear. We no longer work to live, but we live to work. We no longer see our spouse or our children, and we no longer know them. We do not know their friends or what they do with their day. On the other hand, we say that we work for them. On all this because we are afraid or we feel envious, and this results in ambition and greed. My dear friends, we are not against work, far from it. We need to work and to find our vocation. He who finds his or her vocation finds a precious treasure. We must be happy in our work. We must smile and be happy in our work. And in our work, we must not submit to our work. We must like our work, that it either in any branch or in any field. There is no bad work. Every work is honorable. Bless the work of your hand and put all your heart into your thoughts at work, taught us the ancient Hermetic action. Humble work is not bad. Every work is useful, is necessary for society. Why do we tell our children that peasant work is contemptuous? This is pure madness. Farmers feed us. We should all want to be farmers. This is work that produces, that helps. Because there are jobs that are of that have no use, that don't help at all. There are very humble jobs that produce and help society. So we need to work, and we must be happy with our work, with the job. We must like it. We must love it. If we feel love for work, for job, then we become irrepressible. We are being sent back. We are being laid off. It's not important because we love our work. We will always find a way out. A door will always open for us if we love our work. We will always find a way to survive because we do of our work a vocation. When you make your work a vocation, this work becomes, or this job becomes, an apostolate. We must love our work, love it. We must not run away from it, nor watch the hours at every moment, waiting for the exit time. But we must truly love it. If we did that, everything would be different. If we do that, everything will be different. If we want to move forward, we must know when necessity ends and greed begins. Everyone is different, and each of us must discover this moment within ourselves. How can we do? Well, we give you a practice which is as follows. First, we lie on our back, taking the shape of the five-pointed star, opening the arms and legs on each side, like the Leonardo da Vinci drawing. We will have the head pointing towards the north. It is a wonderful position for meditation. Then, being well relaxed, we will concentrate on our immediate physical needs, that is, food, clothing, and shelter. We will meditate on each of these necessities. Of course, we have to work a lot to obtain these little metal coins and these little pieces of paper that we call money, so that we can exchange them for food, clothes, or whatever we want. We will meditate on all of this. Our body must be very well relaxed, and our mind must be silent and calm. We will meditate well focused, well concentrate on these necessities. Everyone is different, and everyone must discover within themselves what their physical immediate needs really are. Then we will try to do so, trying to find out for ourselves and not because of others have told us this or that. We will find out what our immediate physical necessities are. Everyone is different. There are people who need a beautiful and robust car for their work, a salesman who has to drive a lot in many towns and village needs a good, very solid card that allows him to do well his work, going from town to town, from place to place, all around. So he needs something useful, something he can trust on, something solid. We all have different needs in our work. We all have needs that don't match those of others. There are people who have 7 children, others who do not. Others are singles. Others are married. Others must take care of their invalid parents. We all have different needs. Let us concentrate on our own immediate physical necessities. Meditate on each of them and try as we do to discover for ourselves where our necessity ends and where the greed and vision begins. We need to practice this exercise very often and for a long time. If our concentration and our inner meditation are correct, we will gradually discover in this same meditation what our legitimate needs are and where our greed or ambition begins. And so, as the Buddha said, if we get rid of greed, we will make our life blossom wonderfully within us. That's why we have studied today the psychological defect, the sin of greed. My dear friends, that is the lecture for today. For the bibliography, we suggest you to study or to read the book Introduction to Gnosis by Master Samael Aumbeor. There is a chapter, Bread, Clothing, and Refuge. We also suggest you the book Fundamental Education. You will find them on our website www.samaelgnosis.net. Dear friends, thank you so much for being with us. Have a great weekend.